One thing you will find over and over again in this book is that the page God's on is the salvation page. He cares about people. He gave His Son for people, not so everybody be nice to everybody, but so people would get saved and not have to be judged for their sins. And His Son testified to the Father, "Father, they don't know what they're doing." He said, "Well, I know what I'm doing." No. Even as believers, our minds are skewed. We think, "Well, I got it going on. I got this to do and that to do." And God says, "Wait a minute. People need the Lord." That's what needs to be going on in the church of the living God. If we're really the called out ones, what were you called out for? "Hereunto were you called," He says in chapter 2, "that you might suffer, bear the sins of other people." Absorb it, just like He did. And say, "That's okay. You hit me once, that's okay. Turn the other cheek, go the extra mile." These are all things we're familiar with. Why? Because God wants you to show forth grace. He says in the next few verses here, in verse 3 of chapter 3, "Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, or of wearing of gold, or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is incorruptible or not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Now understand here, again, He's telling us how it should look. You're adorning. The word adorning means is the Greek word cosmos. You might know it better as cosmetics, ladies. The word cosmos is the opposite of chaos. I love saying this because some of us need to get a little order in our lives so we don't look like a train wreck. Okay? And God would have you take care of yourself and properly put your best foot forward. But He's saying don't let it be merely the adorning, the outward adorning. You should do that. Your husband is motivated when you look good. You know, if somebody tells you, you know, you did a good job, and you don't respect them, it doesn't mean anything. Like a little child, think about it. 3-year-old walks in, "Boy, Dad, you did a good job." "Yeah, thanks, son." You think, well, he's fine. But what about somebody who's, let's say, the mass they work with some of the MR patients, you know, mentally, you know, retarded. They have this problem and they can't think. "You did a good job." You think, "Thank you." Doesn't really register. You know what happens in marriages? After a while, sometimes you don't respect your mate anymore. So when they tell you you did a good job, it doesn't mean anything to you. I'm not kidding you, folks. This happens. People just get disgusted with their mate sometimes because nobody's playing their role, nobody's doing their part, nobody's getting a clue as to how this thing is supposed to work. He says, don't let your manner be all about the externals. Now, it's okay to be external and take care of yourself, and you ought to look nice for your husband. Helps him to respect you, and when you say, "Honey, you did a good job." You know what I do? I'll do something around the house. I'll say, "Honey, I fixed that. Look." And she'll be doing something. She has to stop what she's doing right now. And she has to come and look right now because I did it. And then she'll come. She knows, too, because I've trained her. I've said, you know, you have to do that. I mean, I'm standing here waiting for you to do that. Okay? So she'll do that for me. And I'll say, "Don't feel my muscle." And we just have a little thing, a little dance we go through like that. It's just funny, but, you know, I need her. I want her to smile at me. I want her to like what I'm doing. I want her to like me. And when I tell her, "Honey, you're so pretty," or I say, "Honey, that was so good." Used to, years ago, because of her upbringing, she'd say, "Yeah, right," or "Nah." But she's gotten to the place where I've had to tell her, "Just say thank you." You know, we need each other. We are our own mutual admiration society. And as a woman, God has designed you to say that the man needs you. Not be all about externals. Externals are good. God made you to be pretty and delicate and attractive to men. But the Bible says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Let them see that in you, and this is where the real respect is going to come from, is when they say, "You're devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost, and therefore you are there on task and on the spot for Jesus," to that man. Your job is to subject yourself. And when you do it, that this is in the sight of God of great price. What is? Somebody who has the hidden man of the heart in the right position, and then it goes on to say that she has a meek and quiet spirit. And I know some women, they laugh when they read that. They say, "Well, that ain't me!" And they think of themselves as loud and bodacious. No, the word meek doesn't mean necessarily quiet like we think. Meekness literally means you're controlled by God. You know, you can be loud and laughing and having a wonderful time if you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, because that may be what's called for at the moment. Have a heart that is literally steadfast, that you're not easily rattled. I concern myself when I see our ladies in the church get rattled. I try not to put too much on them. Some of you thrive on activity. Some of you thrive on just one more thing. But some of you, I have to be careful. I don't want to blow a gasket. I don't want to say, here's one more thing. I want you to do, as a pastor asking you, ministry or whatever. But here's the thing. If you find yourself getting rattled all the time, you need to be careful, because God is trying to show what? Grace! And when He says that this is in the sight of God of great price, the whole idea here, again, it means literally a compound of two words. It means a compound of many or much. And secondly, the second word in the mix is the idea of attaining the desired goal. In other words, God says, you're showing grace when you have a meek and a quiet spirit. And that's what they need to see. It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance every time. People don't get saved by the law. God proved that in the Old Testament. He gave them 10 commandments. He sent serpents in their midst. There was earthquakes flowing out, you know. I mean, He showed them manna in the wilderness, and he gave them water from the rock, and those people were like, what? This all? It wasn't until Jesus died that people really began to get a clue. And Jesus showed us that it was about loving other people. And so when you as a woman are going to be completed is when you begin to give your lives for your husband and your children and secondarily to your world. Oftentimes women feel guilty. Oh, I'm not winning all the souls I want to win. No, you need to help your husband be successful. You need to live your life through him. And when you have opportunity to break and run and go to the world, do so. But don't make that your priority. Your priority as a woman, he says, is to be in subjection to your wife. Husband, why? Because the world will see that your home is in harmony and they will want what you have. It starts in the home, beloved. The home is where the pillar of fire really burns and the world sees it at night. It's where the cloud by day, the cool spot in the world. You know what's happened? Used to be a woman could stay at home and she could work with her kids. And her husband would go out into the world, and he would come home all beaten up a little bit, and he'd come into the house, and she would be able to minister to him because she would be eager to see him. Well, now what's happened is women go to work too, and the children are unclothed oftentimes, and as far as covering, you know, like an umbrella, and the kids are kind of left in the no man's land, and everybody comes and gets the kids. Now, I'm telling you straight, folks, I am. I'm not going to pull any punches. This is God's design. But what happens is that when the women come home and the men come home at the same time, she doesn't want to minister to him. She's been answering to some other guy all day. There's no subjection to him. So if you've ordered your home and it's not too late, maybe you could reorder it, guys. Have a little smaller car. Use something a little less fancy and let wifey stay home for a while. And by the way, with 2 children and all appliances, there is a place for women to work. It's okay. You got more time on your hands than you ever had as women because you used to have to pluck the chicken, you know. Had to go gather the eggs. Not like that anymore. Let's not fool ourselves. But the point is when women lose the quiet, the steadfast spirit, and they get all rattled, it's very difficult for them to what? Show grace. God wants them to show grace in the home, to your children, to your husband. They want the world to see it in your home. And I want to show you a couple verses we didn't look at as closely as I wanted to last week. But go back to chapter 2 and verse 12. It says that that we are supposed to have our conversation. I'm sorry, it's not verse 12. Let me find it real quick for you. It's the idea of grace. I put it in my notes. I know I did. Okay, yes. Verse 9. Verse 9 tells us we're to show forth the grace of God. Verse 18 says that servants are to be subject to the froward even. It says, but this is thankworthy. The word thankworthy in verse 19 is the word grace. This is grace. It's like God says, you have a bad boss. You treat him right. He says, this is grace. Then he goes on to say in verse 20, on into the passage. What glory is it if you take your if you're buffeted when you for your fault, but if you, and you take it patiently? But if you do well and you suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is, again, the word acceptable is the word grace. This is grace. God wants you to show grace in your world. Ladies, He wants you to have that meek and quiet spirit, which also is totally reaching the end of God's after. What is it? Grace. Showing forth grace. And when I'm just going to touch this quickly. Verse 7 is about the husbands. It says, grow with your wives according to knowledge. It makes a nice little theme for a marital conference, but it has nothing to do with husbands understanding their wives. The thrust of the passage is that men are to understand the world in which they live, that they need to dwell with their wives knowing that she is a joint heir with Christ. That's why he says, as joint heirs. See, the world saw the wife had a really subjugated place. I mean, they were the weaker vessel physically, socially, and emotionally. And his job was to give honor to her, give strength to her, because he could. Again, back to if he is respected in her eyes, and he says, honey, you did a good job, she's going to feel good about that and keep doing. Women only need a little encouragement from ourselves. But you have to be a respectable guy to make that little bit of encouragement go as far as God intends it to go. So you be respectable, she be respectable. When you guys tell each other you love each other and you look good today or you did good today, they're going to eat it up and they're going to be able to find strength. Why? Because he says, do all of these things that your prayers be not hindered. What is the prayer? It's not talking about a family order. Good thing to have, pray together, that's wonderful. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the prayers you should be praying when your malice is laid aside and your guile is laid aside, your hypocrisy is laid aside, and your bitternesses are all laid aside, and you're willing to take whatever script God gives you. You're going to be praying for your boss to get saved. You're going to be praying for your husband to get saved. You're going to be praying for your kids to get saved. God doesn't want your prayers to be hindered. How do you keep your prayers from being hindered? By showing the world. Great. By accepting where God has placed you and saying, I'm willing for this. It's hard. He's a forward taskmaster at work. But it's okay. You know what? It's okay. God's got my back. And I'm willing for that. If you're a free man, don't seek to be bound. Go out and live for, you know, God as much as you can. But if you're a bondservant, which means you can't get out of that job, live as the Lord's free man. That's what Paul says in another place in the Scriptures. You're free. You're as freeborn, no matter how hard it may seem. Your job is to show grace. Show grace to your family. Show grace to your husband. Don't come home and kick your wife after the day, hard day you had at work. Give honor to her. You know, you'll get more out of your own heart. You'll get more joy out of your life by opening your home and your heart to what God's doing around you than you will from standing there folding your arms and saying, well, let's see, I got everything in place now. You're not going to be happy with that. The moment you get everything in place, what's going to happen is you're going to think, what do I need to do now? What God wants you to do is care about people and begin to strategically order yourself to meet needs and reach people and touch lives for eternity. Not just being a nice person, but reaching them for eternity. That's why you're here. That's why God has you here. And if you'll just follow Him, He'll lead you into what He calls abundant life. I had a pretty abundant life this past 2 weeks with these. And I know Becky and Dave and Matt and Tracy and Todd and Darlene, they just started a business. Todd and Darlene just started this huge business. I mean, it's like crazy. I mean, she's pulling hair out. Suddenly, she gets a phone call, really. And the phone call was, can you take some kids? And she said, you know, I prayed one prayer. I said, God, I don't want this business to be something that crowds out my ministry opportunities for you. And with that prayer on her mind, the Holy Spirit convicted her, and she said, I'll take four girls. And it was tough. Most of their week was tough. But I'll tell you what, those kids were crying on her shoulder last night. And she was a mess, too. And Michael gets in the car, and he says, my mom can never fake not crying because she turns red as a beet. She just like Tracy. Beloved, they had life last week. They illustrated for us. They showed grace to some people. They were in over their measure. They pulled out their own wallet. They paid for food. They paid for trips. They paid for activities. They paid for stuff out of their own pocket. Why? Can't explain it except grace. We framed it in a way that said, you know, we need to get Jesus to these people. They don't know Jesus. Beloved, there's stuff you can do. Think about it. Pray about it. And God will show you where you are. Would you bow with me for a moment? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.